Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Trundlebed Tales, the podcast about Laura Ingalls Wilder, historic foodways, one-room schools, and other social history. This is Sarah Utoff, the host and creator of Trundlebed Tales. Find us all around the web under Trundlebed Tales and on your favorite social media platform. If you listen or just have an account on a podcast system, please leave positive feedback because that helps people find the show. And this is episode 149, Laura Ingalls Wilder Fandom Roundup 2023, which I have been trying to do since December and have not had much luck at all in terms of getting time blocked ahead of time to do it. But today I do have some time. It's my grandfather's birthday, so I am sure he arranged the time for me because he was always terribly helpful. And we're going to be talking about what happened in Laura Ingalls Wilder fandom last year. Now, having finally gotten this episode out of the way, I'm going to hopefully in the next couple weeks get one out looking ahead get my annual looking ahead post done. I've had enough stuff rounded up to do that I actually went ahead and posted the Laura Ingalls Wilder, the Little House in the Prairie, the musical list of shows, and also the TV show reunion list of shows with who's going to be attending as separate posts. And I'm going to be copying those over to the regular page that I run them on. There have been a couple of different museums that I have been unable to get dates out of, something that I find immensely frustrating. And it seems to be true with a lot of museums. This is not just a Laura site thing. When I worked at Usher's Ferry, they had the dates set a year ahead. And the only way we found out what those dates were before, say, March or April, was if we accidentally found the list. And I do mean that accidentally. We weren't like searching through my boss's office or anything. But if most of the time they knew those dates. And I am willing to bet that the Laura site museums know those dates. And why they don't put them out as soon as possible, I do not know. I do not understand. So I am going, and if you are listening to it as a podcast, I am also doing this as a live stream on Facebook if you want to see me on there. And I've got Jamie Nicole and Tessa Flack watching right now. So hello, ladies. And if you are listening to this in the future, you can sure watch the video instead. It's going to stay up on Facebook. I will say that there was about 15 minutes at the beginning where I was fussing around trying to get the Blog Talk Radio part going. So if you want to fast forward to those first 15 minutes, you can. And then it'll be the same thing as this is. And with that, I think it's time for a little bit of housekeeping. And I am going to have to delete one of these things because it is too much of a pain. Okay, so here we go. Which, if you don't know, is the sound of washing metal plates in a metal tub on a wood stove. I tried to have sweeping earlier, but it wasn't loud enough. So what's going on in terms of housekeeping? Well, first off, I always like to remind people that you can call into the show at 714-242-5253. That's 714-242-5253, or toll free 1-877-633-9389. That's toll free 1-877-633-9389. Normally you can chat, but I'm not going to open that up today just because it is too much extra stuff. So if you want to go on Facebook and you want to chat in the comments there on my stream, I will see them there as we go. And I want to tell you a few things that are coming up. First off, March 1st, we had the first Laura Ingalls Wilder site that closes for part of the year reopening, and that is Mansfield, Missouri. And so this is sort of the start of the Laura season, though things don't really get going till later. The other big thing this month is going to be that there's going to be quite a few reunion shows this year for the Little House on the Prairie TV show cast. The three biggest ones are going to be the one in Simi Valley, where you can actually go on a bus tour and see facades of the buildings that used to be there. So those are like false fronts painted to look exactly like the facades used to in the location those buildings were. They're also recreating three of the interior sets, and they're going to have just a whole ton of cast members there. And they're going to have a photo op and just all sorts of cool stuff. So if you are wanting to do one of those, that is actually going to be in Simi Valley, California this month. There are still tickets available. The second one is going to be in Walnut Grove in July. And the third one is going to be in Connecticut. So any of the East Coast people, that is the one to go to. The person who is the casting director on the show arranged who is coming. And so that was she was able to get the most people. Although I really would like some actor to explain to me the role of a casting director, because I would think once they cast you, you wouldn't see them very much. But I've talked to people from quite a few TV shows and read interviews and things, and I haven't thought to ask them when I was talking to them. They always talk about the casting director like this was somebody they interacted with all the time. So I've got to ask somebody what that role is. But anyway, she was casting director, so she had contacts for everybody and was able to get a whole bunch of people to say yes that normally say no. So those are the three big ones. And the Simi Valley one in California is going to be this month. And I already did a whole preview thing, but I wanted to mention that as we go. I also want to mention that DeSmet is once again in the running for the best small town in America. And I really hope that we get you vote for that early and often. I'm going to go back and put it in the show notes for this, and I will put it in the comments for the video afterwards. And vote for DeSmet, because go Laura Town. And I was trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to mention this year that's coming up quick. I think that might be it. Yeah, but we'll get to all that stuff in the coming ahead episode anyway. So with that, I think we are going to go ahead and go back to the regular run with our audio. So we're looking back at 2023, and it was, I've got things put by location, and I know I normally do this. If you haven't listened to one of these before, I normally do it in chronological order of the places Laura lived, and then I go and do any outliers. So first up was Pepin, and that was the the big news there is they are continuing Laura Days. Laura Days is their big Laura Ingalls Wilder event. It is like the second weekend in September normally. And it had been going on a long time. And it had gotten to the point where a lot of the people who volunteered to do it, and people who put on these hometown festivals are almost all volunteers. So they are doing it freely and on their own time. And people were aging out. And like a whole bunch of other Laura sites, they were starting to lose that generation of volunteers. And I guess I shouldn't say Laura sites. It's everywhere. There was a generation that was really big believers in volunteering. And a lot of the younger generations haven't been taught to do that, don't even think it's a possibility. So if you are actually interested in there being any little house event going on, you tell them you're willing to volunteer, and I am quite sure they would be quite happy to have your help. So anyway, there was actual question about whether the Laura Days in Pepin was going to continue, and it's a smaller event than it used to be. The parade, which was always a really big deal for them, is moved to Saturday. And it's a little smaller event than it used to be, but it's a great event. Most of the stuff is going to be there, and I highly recommend it. I was there every year for quite a while. And seriously, if you have any interest in helping them out, or if you have a traditional craft you'd be willing to demonstrate and be part of it, I think they would, or if you are good sewing with a needle and thread and you're willing to help some kids learn to sew, I think that thrilled to have the help. So the second big thing is in 2022, they started a new, before we do that, I should say, and then their big star of the Laura Days this last year was Dean Butler, who is apparently amazingly popular. And Dean is always my example when I have to tell people about excellent customer service. He is just excellent. The guy should go around and do like one of these speaking tours on how to do customer service, because he is so great at it. But anyway, so he's always well received, and they really hadn't had a TV show person before, so I would expect to see more new people there. Now, this is also the second year of the At Home at Laura's Place. That's the thing that started in 2022. And it was a thing where a couple of local groups put together the birthplace cabin. There is a replica cabin, the second replica cabin at Pepin, at the Little House Wayside, which is the Wisconsin thing. I'm not going to take time to explain right now. But anyway, when it was originally set up, they had the cabin furnished with antiques. And they would have people go up there at certain hours in the day, and that's the only day when it was open. They decided that rather than have people go and sit in this cabin and this was pre-cell phone, not have any way to contact anybody else. I don't think they had a bathroom up there yet. It just was not good. They moved the antique furniture into the museum in downtown Pepin. So now they have taken the, and they just had a picnic table in the house, a real big, heavy picnic table. I don't know why, but anyway, they have apparently taken that out. And now during these At Home at Laura's Places events, they have fitted out the cabin like it would have looked when somebody was living there. They're there just going about their 19th century lives and talking to people and interpreting things when people come, which I think is super cool. They did it 4 weekends a year, and it was very one a month, May to September, and they May to August, maybe. Yeah, I think it's May to August. I've seen pictures. It looks really cool, and I hope to get up there. It was on my agenda of things to do this year, but I've got three and a half things of trips that I have to decide yet for sure whether I'm going to do them or not. And I think that one might be going to hit the guillotine. It might go to next year if it goes. It sounds like they are trying to make it an annual event. Okay, so that gets us down to independence. And let me just check here. Okay. Yep. Okay. So that's still true. Independence, there is two things. First of all, their website is down, as in something went wrong and the store is unavailable. And I have no idea what's going on with that. I haven't been able to find out. So that is a terrible thing for a museum, but they tend to be, they are one of the privately owned sites, and they have always been kind of, I think, a fair description. Their other big thing is that they always did a event in June called Prairie Days. Even after they cut it down to one day, they still called it Prairie Days. And now that has kind of been gotten rid of, and they are instead focusing on Carrie's birthday. And in 2020, they were the only Laura site who successfully completed a planned Laura event, was for their birthday party for Carrie, and it has been sort of their focus. And it they're going to be having one of the cast reunions not run by a museum there at Independence this year, but that's looking ahead. But I think Carrie's birthday has become their new big event of the year. Which, when is Carrie's birthday, you ask? August 3rd. It's the only one of the sisters' birthdays I can rattle off. Okay, that gets us to Walnut Grove. Now, first off, the Walnut Grove pageant, and they have quite a bit of stuff going on. First is the they have been switching from having Fragments of a Dream, which is the same production every year and doing it the same, to going to having a series of three pageants. And they are hoping to put in some more historical research on other people, that kind of thing. And my concern with it is Fragments of a Dream was so good because they polished it some every year. And if you're only doing something every 3 years, it's going to be much harder to polish. But we shall see. And this last year, 2020, I went up to Walnut Grove for with my friend Kelly. Hey, Kelly. And we got to see the second one of the trilogy. And it was interesting. I think I think they're going to have to work on it some more. It definitely has not been polished, but it couldn't be. I mean, not the first year they gave it. And They added a snow machine effect, which was really nice. And I couldn't quite tell if they changed the fire effect or not. I think maybe they did and added some in the back, but I'm not 100% sure. And they did, it was still great. They have wonderful actors and it's still well worth seeing, but I will be very interested in seeing what it's going to end up being. Now, I told you that I have, you know, like 3.5 trips I'm trying to decide if I'm going to actually have the funds and time to go to. One of them is to run up to Walnut Grove again to see the third pageant, which will not be on the reunion day, cast reunion day, but we'll just have to see if that happens or not. The family, oh, and one more with the pageant before we go on. I already mentioned big reunion for 2024. They also are, they took down the outhouses. Now, they were pretty typical for like a county fairground where they had been put in the 60s or 70s. I'm not exactly sure when these were, but they have, in order to stay within modern requirements, they basically took out that building and are rebuilding it. And I arranged a fundraiser for them called Tip Outhouse. If you have not yet tipped Outhouse, please do. They could use the help. And it will be of benefit to anybody who will ever, ever be making a trip to Walnut Grove to get those bathrooms fixed. All right. The family festival that is part of the pageant that has traditionally been held in the city park moved to being around the museum. The idea was that it would have all the activity in one space. There was apparently some resentments over that, and I'm not sure if they're going to do it again or not. It will be interesting to see, but it was kind of a shock to get there. And I drove up around the square almost first to kind of get a feeling of what was going on. And there was nothing there. Well, there was actually two booths, but we were like, where is everybody? And then we pulled over to the museum and bam, they were right there. So I'm not sure which place they're going to be this next year. We'll have to see. I'm not sure how they decided it was. Now, previously, they had had the speeches on the gazebo in the town park, and this year they moved them to the porch of the Master's Hall. They have been continuing to work on the Master's Store and Hall restoration, and they have exterior stairs both to the second floor of Masters, which is open. The first floor is an exterior stairs to the second floor of Grandma's house. And they also have a new director. There has been some interesting spinning around directors at a couple of the different sites this year. And one of them was Walnut Grove. And the new director would have been a good thing to write down as a note, wouldn't it? Let me pull it up here a second. Let's see. All right. Well, while I am looking for that, I will also mention that one of the things the new director did was had them do a complete inventory of what they had in the gift shop, and then they opened a new store online. Now, I had had issues. I know they'd had issues updating the online store as they had it. And so I'm not surprised they did another one, but honestly, there's much less there than there was, which is unfortunate because they have one of the best gift shops. And terrible. I should know her name. And I'm not spying it. All right. Well, I'm spying it. So I'm going to, whoop, what's that? Nope, of course not. All right, so I'm going to have to add it to the show notes afterwards. I'm sorry, everybody. Okay, so I think that is it for Walnut Grove. Burr Oak has gotten the one-room school in town moved from up the hill down to right by the Master's Hotel. Now, they do not have this was not a one-room school that had any connection with Laura. Laura went to the town school when she lived in Burr Oak, but Laura, of course, did have lots of connections to one-room schools in general, and last year they did an introduction and had someone there doing lessons programs in the school. And again, coming in 2024, I'm going to be doing it this year, doing some lessons in the one room school. So if you have any reason to come to Burr Oak this year, I think during their Laura days in June, it's going to be a great time. Spring Valley also has a different director, and they, as a general rule, tend to go through directors quickly, so I'm not sure even if the one I was talking about is still there, but hopefully they are and getting traction. They are currently trying to get funds for a new roof for the church tower. And this was the church that their museum is in Spring Valley, Minnesota, and is the church that Laura attended and Manley and Rose when they lived in Spring Valley. And they also were the subject of a local news story, and I did a blog post on that, and it's a video doing a guide around the museum. And it's one of those local news stories where the morning news is hosted at a site, and then they do little look arounds in between news stories, and that's what it is. So it's a nice look around the museum. Now, in DeSmet, the Kingsbury County, DeSmet, South Dakota, the Kingsbury County Courthouse had its 125th anniversary. They seem to have troubles with it quite frequently on construction. Having read the DeSmet News and the Kingsbury County, it's terrible, I just blanked on the name. Well, anyway, having read that for a long time, they're always having trouble with that. They have also a new director, and it's someone with a local connection. So hopefully their most recent spin over of directors will have finished. They are putting out a new edition of the Ingalls Family of DeSmet. Is a publication of sort of little things around DeSmet, photographs, newspaper clippings that various family members wrote or appeared in. All sorts of different things like that, and it is well worth having a copy, and they tend to make enough changes between editions that it's worth getting a new one, even if you had it before, although there will be similarities and some of the same stuff. They also have a special Garth Williams exhibit, and their Garth Williams collection is, a lot of them are things that were from the book set in Smet, but there were, you know, several books in Smet, so they're more of a interaction thing than say, Walnut Grove's collection, which are, they got as many as they could from on the banks of Plum Creek, and they had a special exhibit with those pictures. They also had Bill Anderson there to talk about them at an event over the summer. And they have been working on their Main Street in DeSmet. They have been having to do some actual physical construction work on it, you know, redoing water pipes and that kind of thing. And so they are also working on trying to beautify DeSmet. And quite a few years ago, Rapid City, South Dakota, started a project of putting statues of the presidents all over downtown, presidents of the United States. And if you were following when we took the family trip to South Dakota quite a few years ago now, we got some pictures with the presidents. And that has been a big boon to their downtown, because you kind of have to walk around to find them. It isn't like it's a row of statues. It's more that it's, you have to wander around at the different buildings and find them. And that has been so successful that other cities in South Dakota have tried to attempt it, doing the same thing with a sort of a twist. So in Pierre, they're statues of all the governors. And in DeSmet now, they are trying to do art statues with a related theme. So there is, for example, a statue of a horse. And there is a statue of a giant pair of boots that were done by a particular artist. And they're apparently planning on adding those to Main Street. Those, I think, are already there. And they're going to be adding more as time goes on, and that is going to change the look a lot. I think they're also planning on trying to take back some of the width of Calumet, which is their main street. Calumet, exceedingly wide for a downtown. The main streets generally tend to be wide, but it almost, in some streets in down in Washington, Iowa, they have them wide enough so they can have a middle row of parked cars in there, and it's almost that wide. It's super wide. So they're, I think, going to try and take some of that space back for various things to do with the sidewalk. All right. Then at Mansfield, there is a new photo policy. You can now take pictures inside both houses and the museum. At least you could this summer. I'm assuming that's going to continue, which is really for the best, because they didn't really have a good way of policing it. And if you're having a policy that people can accidentally break, or they can deliberately break it and not have any consequences, they just didn't have things set up, they could really easily stop you. That was one of the reasons why I went down to Mansfield, was for getting pictures inside the houses. And even though I was super excited, I really think I need to come back, which one of those 3.5 trips that I may or may not be taking this year is to go back down to Mansfield where both Bill Anderson is going to be and Dean Butler is going to be the speaker. And in there, they are also, this last year, had finished the, well, they hadn't finished, they had sold the house on Commercial Street that Laura and Almanzo and Rose lived in Mansfield while they lived in town before they got Rocky Ridge fully developed. And they are turning that into a bed and breakfast. Now, that was still under construction in 2023, but I am super excited about it. And I cannot wait to get to go and stay in the same house Laura stayed in. It is, can't wait. Gotta be super expensive. Gotta be super expensive. Don't care. Gotta go. Anyway, so that was going on. They also had a special Garth Williams exhibit, complete with interactive things and with the t-shirt. And I think they are actually still have that up. I don't think they've pulled it yet. They are also continuing to work on restoration of various pieces inside the home. And they just redid Laura's, I'm going to call it a fainting couch because it's kind of designed that way with the one side being higher and the other side being flat, like you can put your legs on it, that Laura had in her writing room. And she said she sometimes took naps on that if she got up in the middle of the night to write. And, you know, and they'd done a quilt and they'd done various things. I want to point out, if you are touring the museum, be sure to look in the lap desk because they have a $100 bill sticking out from it. And I didn't even notice it because I was so busy taking pictures of the lap desk and the hack that I just didn't even see it. So be sure to look for that. And, you know, there's some other things around. There is the other thing they are working on is trying to do a new roof for the Rock House. The Rock House was loosely based on some plans for Sears Roebuck House. There were major changes made by an architect. And one of the things she changed was, Rose changed was the roof. And there was a highly complicated pattern of shingles, which is just asking for trouble because even the best shingles don't last that long. And they had kind of a totally weird set of shingles. So they're trying to replace them with the exact right shingles, and it's going to be super expensive. So they are going to be continuing to work on raising that money. And they did a special fundraiser for it that you'd get a keychain if you donated. And in Malone, and of course, they're still collecting money for the roof. If you are looking for a place to donate, that is also a place going on. Malone, which is Malone, New York, where Farmer Boy is set, has a new website this year, and they're still trying to get help repairing their roof for the kitchen. So roofs are super important. If you can get a roof on an old building, no matter what else happens, it will usually the building in good enough shape until you can get the rest of the building fixed. So roofs are very important, and I am not shocked that quite a few of them need repair. You can always put money towards roofs. All right, there was also a Gene Autry Museum event. They had it be a tribute to Michael Landon and McRae, Kent McRae, I think, who was one of the producers and the husband of the casting director, and they both had worked on a lot of Westerns, and that's why the Gene Autry had it. Gene Autry Museum, Gene Autry is, of course, the singing cowboy, and he is the singing cowboy that our family has as our singing cowboy. And so we don't do much with Roy Rogers. We're Gene Autry people. It is the premier Western museum or museum in the country, and museum artifacts, museum artwork. I mean, any of that stuff. It is just totally the best and one of the most impressive museums you will ever see. It really is amazing. They do not post events with very much warning, though. I mean, it was like a week before I found out about this thing. I tell you, museums need to post events earlier. Anyway, and I will mention, since we're talking about the Gene Autry Museum, the Roy Rogers Museum got shut down. It went out of business, which I take a mean bit of pleasure for. Though when last heard, Roy Rogers' horse Trigger and his dog's name Bullet, I think the dog's name was Bullet, was bought by one of these off-brand television stations that ran a bunch of Westerns and was making the circuit so you could go and see Trigger stuffed. All right, the other part of the Gene Autry thing is Dean Butler was heading up a issue to get a bench for Michael Landon in a particular park. It was a GoFundMe thing, and they was like, when I last checked, it was like double the amount they'd asked for. And when I went down to Hannibal for their cast reunion river cruise in May, it was a Mother's Day thing, they said they were still fundraising money for it, so I'm not sure what that money's going to. The Newberry Library, which is a huge deal in literary circles, had offered a in-person class on Laura this year, which was supposed to be like on Saturdays. It was originally supposed to be an online class, and I thought it was an online class and registered for it and then had to call and cancel and say, hey, I can't get there live. And it was over $200. So they are supposed to be doing one this fall, but FYI, it's going to be pricey. Project Archaeology did a class for teachers. If you are unaware, they do basic classes on how to do archaeology, what you can learn from archaeology, how to turn archaeological discoveries into lessons for the classroom. It's a two-day event. You can earn teacher credit for it. You have to do a project. And I did one when they did it at the Hoover Presidential Library and National Historic Site. I want to say 10 years ago, might be 10 years ago. But having looked at their agenda, it was very similar to that, with the exception of they went to the pageant and to the Laura Museums, which the ones in Walnut Grove have not really done much in the way of archaeology. So not sure exactly what they did. They actually had done a dig at Hoover, and they walked us through the report of the dig of what they found when they were looking for Jesse Hoover's locksmith shop, which was pretty cool. The project archaeology classes tend to be fairly small. If you do get a chance to take one, highly recommend. Very interesting, and you'll learn a lot more about how we find out about history there. Now, usually Christmas plays are something. There are four different Christmas plays that are available. I always say you should recommend them to your local theater group, whether they're a community theater or whether they're a local professional group, because there's only so many versions they can do of the Christmas Carol, which is what the vast majority of theater groups do in December, is a Christmas Carol. A different version of that, they are different scripts. You can buy the rights to them online where they normally get scripts. And this year, I could not find a listing for any of them. They were all gone. Now, I should say that you would think you could go to the place where they sell the rights and say, hey, who have you sold the rights to for this year? Turns out you can't. So I just have to hunt for them. But there was absolutely none. And I think what happened was there were quite a few productions of Little House on the Prairie, the musical. And that was last year. And in 2024, there's like four or five scheduled. So I'm thinking that places that might have done a Christmas plays decided not to do that because they were already doing a Laura production. Again, they do not tell you that who's all doing the production. So if you see one, let me know. I have a blog post that I did the listing on of the ones for 2024. And two of those I only found out because somebody else told me, despite the fact that I search for them a lot. Books that have come around. Michelle Underwood is one of the guides at Laura Ingalls Wilder Home and Museum in Mansfield, Missouri. And it is her perspective about what goes on in the museum. It is a decent-sized book. If you want to learn more because you can't get to Mansfield or you want to learn more afterwards, you can get the book from their gift shop. There is also a book by Wendy Lou Lee, and here's the title for Michelle's book. Laura Ingalls Wilder's Rocky Ridge Farm, a detailed look behind the scenes at the Laura Ingalls Wilder Historic Home and Museum. Wendy Lou Lee's book is about is Red Tail Feathers. Her first book was a devotional where there, if you haven't read a devotional before, there's like a couple paragraphs about every single day where they're reaching out either to kind of look at a religious question or to show how they applied Christianity to their life. It's a literary form that you usually either know all about them or you've never heard of them before. But she did one, and she talked about a little bit about her Little House connections, a little bit about her fight with cancer, and all sorts of, I should know. I can't remember if it was cancer, if it was a different operation. She was seriously ill, and she recovered, and that's part of what was in that book. This one is supposed to be more of a memoir. Okay. There have been more joining the regular programs. Now, there has been for quite a while a group of actors from the show, most namely Allison Arngrim, who played Nellie, Gene Butler, who played Almanzo, Charlotte Stewart, who played Miss Beadle, and Wendy Lou Lee, who was one of the Baby Graces, the one who just did the new book. And they sort of were the ones that you saw most of the time. Once in a long time, mostly at cons or places where, big shows where they have all sorts of different actors, you would see Karen Grassley or Melissa Gilbert, but you didn't really see them very often. Once in a long, long while, you'd see them at a Little House event. But there's been pulling in more people. And this year, last year, Patrick Labrador, and I'm sorry, I mess up his name every time, and I have got to learn how to say it. He played Andrew Garvey on the TV show, and he kind of joined in, and Allison kind of encouraged him to become part of the group. And he was the speaker when I was down at Mansfield in 2023. He did a very nice, very moving speech. And then we have had two different groups of baby roses show up. Now, there was baby rose, whose name was, well, there were twins who played it. Jennifer Donati, not promising that's the right pronunciation. She was one of the babies. Her sister has since passed on. They were rose for that one season, and she has joined the group. And Jennifer Steffen, who actually just very nicely had helped me with my cast list update, was toddler Rose Wilderlane with her sister Michelle, who Jennifer is signed up for lots of events. Jennifer Steffen, toddler Rose, is signed up for a whole bunch of events in 2024. So is Jennifer Donate, the baby Rose. Michelle Steffen is not in as easy position to rearrange her schedule and go out, but she's on one or two of them for 2024. But I find it interesting as they pull these other people in. And one of the other ones, and this is why I should have had notes ready to go with people's names, but let me pull it up here quick. All right. Looking for art. Olivia Barish has also joined the group. She played Sylvia Webb from the Rapist Clown episode. The Carters families, especially David Friedman, who played Jason, and Pamela Roylance, who played Sarah Carter, who were the couple that moved into the little house after Ma and Pa left, are on a lot of them now too. But like I said, the biggest ones that you're going to find, if you want to see everybody, the ones to go to are either Simi Valley in March, Walnut Grove in July, or let's see, when is the Connecticut one? Through September 1st in Connecticut. Those are the biggest events with the most people. I will say that they are also the most expensive, and to get to see a home site town in addition to getting to see the cast might be a better use of your time. So that is looking ahead to 2024. The other thing that I wanted to mention, the last thing, is this was also the 50th anniversary of the Usher's Ferry Historic Village in Cedar Rapids. And during the 1990s, I had run a program where we had an event for Girl Scouts to get their badges and patches. I'm sorry, I am not a Girl Scout, and I always get mixed up on this. Badges were like levels, things you earn, and patches were extra things, I think. It's either that way or the other. And whatever was the extra thing was what we did at Usher's Ferry. And so they had a strong Laura events program. They did my adult Laura Ingalls Wilder conference there. That is where I learned historic cooking. You saw, if you watch my videos, in the how to use a wood stove video is from Usher's Ferry. And it is, I think, an important, it has its own place in Laura fandom. And it was their 50th anniversary last year. And they are, I think, going to have another Laura anniversary or another Laura event this year. So if they do, I hope you can come. And we are 3 minutes from the end of the time we have on the podcast. So I just want to take time and thank you for following me around on all the various platforms, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Blog Talk Radio with the podcast, on Instagram, on Twitter, X. And I'm so glad when I can talk to you guys. I always loved when I run into you at a home site. And I hope that I will see you again fairly soon. And with that, I want to just thank you for listening today. And remember to brighten the corner where you are. Thank you.